can't we cover this stuff before we walk down the aisle? Like, don't you think this is important? Don't you want to be Jim at 58? I'm assuming they've been together for a while. And he's like, yeah, I'm with a woman. We've been figuring it out. I want to figure my body out. Doesn't everyone? No, everyone does not want to figure their body out because, you know, shame, fear, trauma, a lot of different things. But it's really just being open and figuring out what feels good to you. It's all exploring. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Well, I believe orgasms are not the end goal of sex. Who can blame themselves for wanting one? Whether you're having partnered or solo sex, orgasms have incredible health benefits, like boosted levels of estrogen and collagen, a huge dose of endorphins and oxytocin, better sleep and immunity. But namely, you want an orgasm because it feels good. That's why on today's show, I'm helping you reach climax. How can you still have numerous deep orgasms? When you love anal play, but haven't had an anal orgasm quite yet, well, how can you make it happen? And can all vulva owners really have multiple orgasms? Find out all this and more on today's orgasm show. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you all to do the same. My intention is to empower you with the techniques and mindset you need to explore your body's orgasm potential. Because when we're able to climax authentically, the entire journey of sex is enhanced from start to finish. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, Penis Issues and Innovations with Dr. Cartman, is up at sexwithemily.com. Don't forget to check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. And if you want to ask me questions, do it. Leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX, or 559-825-5739. Just include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. It's totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. Okay, before we get into today's show, if you haven't heard the news, I am coming out with a book. I am so excited. It's going to be released on June 13th. It's called Smart Sex, How to Boost Your Sex IQ and Own Your Pleasure. I would love if you would pre-order it right now. It's a big deal. I'm learning all about this industry right now. And if you know you're going to buy it, just pre-order it now. I would be so appreciative. You can just pre-order it at sexwithemily.com. Just go to the drop-down menu, select new book. It's easy from there, or go to the show notes. But you can also pre-order from indie bookstores like Roman's Bookstore. Why not support your indie book sellers? But what I can tell you is this book is truly going to change your life. If you think that this show has helped you, I'm really confident that when I teach you about the five pillars of sexual intelligence and you're upping your sex IQ, it's going to change your relationship to sex. It's going to release shame, and it's going to help you have better communication with your partner, all the things. So thank you for supporting the book, and I can't wait to meet you when I take this book tour on the road. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. So you know that I'm a fan of orgasms. I talk about orgasms a lot. And I want to be clear that I don't believe that the goal of sex should be to have an orgasm. That's another one of those myths that we believe. If I didn't have an orgasm, it means that I failed the sexual experience or I failed my partner because they didn't have an orgasm. And so one of the things I'd love to impart is not all about that. Sex doesn't have to be so linear. It could be about touch and connection and all those things. But I'm not going to lie. Friggin' love an orgasm. In thinking about orgasms, you know, there is an orgasm gap. We know, like, especially in the heterosexual couples, there's a gap. It exists. You know, men take anywhere from like 6 to 10 minutes to orgasm, and women are like 10 to 40 minutes. And so that happens. And as a result of that, there's a lot of women who are just kind of cheating themselves out of orgasms and partners who don't really understand it because what we see in porn or television is very different. So talk a lot about the pressure. As a woman, I can tell you that I felt so much pressure to orgasm and to be into it. Before I had this career, I thought, I didn't know about the orgasm gap. I just assumed, well, he's about to come, so shouldn't I be ready to go? And then you feel this pressure to have an orgasm, even if you don't want to have an orgasm. You know, you're not ready, or you're like, oh, you know, I used to have this belief that if it didn't happen by a certain time, like I remember staring at the clock when I was having sex with somebody, those red clocks with the red digital numbers, and there's like the blinking like lights in between, and they blink. And I used to think like, oh God, the blinking clock next to me, it's been 8 minutes, 9 minutes. Oh God, guess what I do? I gotta fake my orgasm. So I'm a reformed faker. My name's Emily Morse, and I used to fake orgasms. And the reason why I did it, or a lot of reasons that I hear that you do it, especially as a woman, but let me tell you something. Men fake orgasms as well. I remember that was shocking when I first heard that. I was like, what? So I used to fake it, you know, partners fake it. And I realized that the reason, you know, that it just didn't feel like fair after a while. And then I started doing this job. I'm like, oh, no, like, no, do not. I used to be like, no one fake. Oh, like if it was like a proposition on the ballot, I'd go around town being like, would you please vote no that we shouldn't fake it? But a lot of the reason why all genders fake it, and what I found is pretty much the same reason, is because we want to stroke our partner's ego. We worry about, and again, it's not even conscious, but we're like, I know that if I don't orgasm right now, my partner's going to feel upset and they're going to wonder what they did wrong. And I don't have the words to tell them that I need more time. I needed more foreplay. I needed more oral. Like, you are nowhere near where the clitoris. Pounding away like a jackhammer doesn't do it. That's not the secret sauce. And before I had the language and the confidence to talk about sex, I would just think that that was like my option. And the other thing I would do is I know that sometimes I would start to quicken my it's called like the female like copulatory, the breathing, and I would allow my breath to like, he's about to come. So I'm going to like increase it. But it had nothing to do with my own pleasure. I was like, okay, this is going to get him to come. And it sounds like it feels really good, but it doesn't. You know what I'm talking about. And then I would also fake it because I didn't know how to orgasm with a partner. I didn't know how I would even explain to him. I didn't even know that he really wanted to really like figure it out. Like I'm like, well, I'm already doing something wrong here because I should already be orgasming. I don't want to be a burden, and I care about his pleasure more than mine. So that's the big thing that we do. We prioritize our partner's pleasure often over our own. And I'm not saying that men are walking around going, great, long as I had mine. I think the reason why a lot of us fake it is because I think that there's a lot of men who feel satisfaction. I know they do. The lovers that you want to be with are like, oh, I really want you to come. I really want you to. I'm so bummed. So there's just all this like misperceptions and confusion around pleasure. But let's talk to Rob, 32, has a question. Hi, Rob. Hi, thanks for calling. Hey, Rob. I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Anyways, the reason I asked you, because I'm a gay man, and I've been with men since I was like 13 years old. So I've had several male friends in those years. Anyways, the reason I ask you, because you're talking about these orgasms and stuff, and they go, what's the best position to have like a really good orgasm when you're having anal sex, I guess?
Yeah. How do you have one? You just, you know, you have you ever had your prostate stimulated, or have you ever done any anal play?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've done all that. Yeah, I've done with dildos, and I had vibrators, and I've done that. But, you know, you just can't get, like, you feel something that's coming, but it just doesn't come. It's like, it's almost like it's right there.
Oh, you're saying that you get close to orgasm when someone stimulates your prostate, but you don't quite get there.
Yeah.
What about your penis? What if they're like playing with your penis and inside of you? Do they use their penis or a toy?
My penis, well, you see, I don't let men play with my penis by far, obviously. I just more like the sex personally.
But I would practice on your own. I know. Okay, so practice this stuff on your own. Even if you don't have a penis, use fingers, use a toy, use a vibrator. So on your own too, if you want to explore your prostate and see if you can actually have an anal orgasm, I would just do it on your own. And when you're masturbating, try. Keep experimenting, keep breathing and trying different positions. And I think you'll be able to do it, okay?
Yeah, I've had several, like, lots of experiences, but I've always been like a little bit. Like,
well, try on your own, Rob, every day for 30 days. Thank you for your call, Rob. I think that every day for 30 days, if you call in and you tell me that you want to try something different, let's say you're like, I want to have a multiple orgasm. I've never had one. Then what I would tell you is that every day for 30 days, for 10, 15, 20 minutes, masturbate. Have one orgasm, breathe into your body, explore. Maybe you want to have an anal orgasm and just commit to it. And let's talk to Anna, 30 in Georgia. Hi, Anna. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
I struggle because I'm pretty sure I've never had a real orgasm and I'm 30 years old.
Okay.
And so I've heard and read stories over the years of people who complain of this and they have anxiety or they were abused or there was some sort of connective reason, but I can't exactly diagnose that. Like, I'm healthy, I exercise, I'm comfortable being physical with my partners. I'm in a monogamous relationship now.
Okay.
And I've always been pretty honest with my partners that, you know, I have trouble orgasming, but I've had to fake a few over the years so that I felt like it was about them. But I don't think it's specific to my partners because I've been with a handful of different styles and sizes of men. And I've tried vibrators, you know, like all the things that self-help articles tell you to do.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to ask what you feel like women in my position should do, or if you had any other questions for me before.
It's a great question, Anna. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The good news here is very few women are anorgasmic. Like, they just can't have an orgasm. It's not going to happen. There's something's wrong with them. So that's the good news. So I just believe that it's just going to take a little bit more exploring and a little more patience and to kind of go, you know, kind of explore your body without the goal of like, I have to have an orgasm and here's what it's supposed to look like. Because you mentioned, well, I've been with lots of guys and a lot of different penises, but that's not how it happens for most women, the first orgasm. And I know you're 30, it hasn't happened yet. I didn't have an orgasm, a real one, until I was like 25. And even after that, it took a while. So, like, it's okay. You're on the path. At least you're curious about it. So my question is, what's your masturbation practice like?
Yeah, I was going to say, if anything feels the best to me, it is masturbation.
Great.
And I really enjoy, like, applying pressure to my, like, my bone and my clit.
Yep. Yeah, like your pubic mound, like pressing down on that.
Kind of like, it reminds me of like a massage on your back.
Yeah, no, I love that area. That area is packs the punch. Yeah, that's great. So have you spent time really sort of exploring or just like a few times? Like how much time have we put into this?
I mean, I've been masturbating since I was a teenager, but I just think that what people describe as an orgasm where it's just this over-the-top release or, you know, people have like a, like, or if they come or whatever, I don't do that. Like, I get really wet even before I'm feeling anything. Like, I don't have problems performing sexually for anybody, you know, but I just don't get that over the top sensation. It's like I get 70-80% there.
Well, maybe there's a point where you just kind of breathe through it and you keep going when you feel like how do you know when you're done? Like, you're like, it feels good and then I stop.
Well, I'm sure a lot of women listening would identify what always stops for me is when the man gets off. And
I'm saying alone. No. Honey, you have to know that only 20% of women are going to have an orgasm because of a penis. 20%. It's mostly not with a penis. In fact, well, definitely the majority of women. So that's why it's on your own with masturbation, playing with your toy, pressing down on your pubic mound, using lube, fantasizing, breathing, like deep breath. Sometimes we kind of O-block ourselves because we're like, it's not happening. It's not feeling like this. I heard it's going to be like this amazing. I'm going to see fireworks. I didn't see fireworks. What's wrong with me? I better just give him a blowjob and go to sleep. So really, it's about like taking deep breaths. Like, our breath can facilitate orgasm more than almost anything, and a little few drops of lube. That really helps, like slowing down, teasing your stuff, playing with your inner thighs and like moving your fingers up your labia, applying pressure, just experimenting without that goal of it. And you said you have a vibrator. Listen, I had a friend, Anna, and she decided that she had not had an orgasm. And she was like, I've got to do everything in my power. I'm going to go. And she went away. This was in college. She went away on an internship. I'll never forget this. And she's masturbated every single day for like 30 days, like first week. She didn't have an orgasm. Second week, things felt good. She didn't really get there. And then third week, she finally had like an amazing orgasm because she took the time and she was patient. And now, still one of my best friends, has like so many orgasms all the time because I really think it's about exploring because it looks different to everybody. And I feel like you're close, Anna. We've had a lot of great blogs on this. We've got a lot of podcasts about it. So I just think that getting a little bit more inspiration, just I know that you're going to get there. Not worried about you, Anna. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Of course, Anna. Thanks for calling. We have an email from Demonte 27 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Dr. Emily, I am currently experiencing issues with my penis. The problem I'm facing is premature ejaculation, but I don't think it's a typical premature ejaculation after doing research and realizing that it may be from my nerve ending in my gland's penis having a hyper excitatory effect. This leads me to become stimulated too quickly. I love having sex with my partner and have my days where I have an extended period of time, but most days it's being stimulated too quickly. Also, marijuana delays my stimulation and I don't want to take any medications. I've had this problem for years and never understood it. All right. Thank you so much, Demonte. I so appreciate your email here. You know what's cool? It's a great time to be alive and to be sexual because there is so much new research that's happening right now with our genitals, whether it's our vulva and vagina or it's our penis and all of our glands. We are learning more and more now about premature ejaculation, and you might have a nerve ending that is causing this challenge for you. It's now commonly accepted that PE is a neurobiological phenomenon. So there are both biological and psychological factors that contribute to it. The psychological factors could be like anxiety or worry. There's many a man who it happened the first time they had sex or the first time they were with someone new. And then guess what? They were so worried it was going to happen that every single time they had sex, they were ejaculating before they wanted to. And then it's a thing that keeps happening over and over again. And then, you know, I teach a lot of different practices that men can do. They can practice edging, which is the point where you are masturbating until the point of going over. Like it's a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is ejaculating. 1 is you're sleeping. You masturbate until you're about an 8 when you're about to ejaculate. And then you bring it back down to like a 5. And then you bring it back up again to an 8 or 9. And then you bring it back down. And this allows you to understand your ejaculatory control. So you know when you're about to go over. So that's a practice that I highly recommend. I also love a delay spray, especially Promescent. They're actually the only one I would tell you to use. I've been working with them for about 10 years, and it's a delay spray that helps penis owners last up to 64% longer in bed. You simply spray it on 10 to 15 minutes before you play with someone, and it doesn't transfer to your partner. It lasts for up to an hour. And yeah, you last 64% longer. And I think many men just use it because they just don't have to worry about it either. They're like, I know if I'm using Promescent, I will not get there before I want to. And there is no harm and it's easy to use. You can find more about that at promescent.com/Emily to get 15% off your order. That's promescent.com/Emily for 15% off your order. And we'll put that link in our show notes. But also I want to say, if this is a problem with your nerves, you know, we did a great show with Dr. Edward Cartman. I would check out his website, which I believe is healthy-male. He's in Northern California. But what I love about Cartman and like-minded urologists like him is that they're forever learning. They're taking advanced trainings. They're seeing what new technology is out there right now. So if this is a glands problem and you have nerve endings that become too stimulated, let's find you a doctor who can work with you. Maybe there's something you can do for this and you won't have to worry about it again. Also, to address what you said about marijuana, that definitely can help delay stimulation, but we all know that there's side effects from marijuana that aren't so great. So I don't love the idea of us relying on something like marijuana to take care of our sexual function. I'd rather have you try something that's like topical, like a Promescent, and I would love you to find a doctor who could work with you so you get the bottom of your premature ejaculation situation and see how we can help you make it so your sex life is satisfying every single time for both of you. Thanks so much for your email, Demonte. I appreciate you. Let's take a quick break. And when we're back, I'll be talking more about all things orgasm and how to get yours. So don't go anywhere. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, we've got a little bit of sex in the news here. Okay, sleep orgasms are a thing and they're spectacular. All right, so I love this because 37% of women report having one and 83% of men. And I was thinking of this as like, first off, I wish I had sleep orgasms. I had them years ago, and it turns out, you know, usually we remember having them our teenage years. I'd like to bring it back if we could somehow figure that out. And it shows that typically it is a hormonal influence. And now the other interesting thing about this, about having a wet dream, a sleep orgasm, is that they can, that vagina havers report they can climax only in their sleep. And I think that's interesting too for people. Once we take away all the barriers of worry because we are so concerned about our partner's pleasure or what our body looks like, our orgasm phase, we're way less mindful and there's all these inhibitions. But when you're sleeping, well, there's nothing there, right? You can just, it's just you're dreaming and then you could have the orgasm. So that, you also know that it's a promising sign that if you're not able to have it in real life, but you're able to have it in your dream, well, it's a physical, you are physically capable of it. And I just want to say this. A lot of women think they're anorgasmic, but most women are just pre-orgasmic. It doesn't mean you can't have one. I just say you haven't yet. So yeah, so that's what happens. But I want, and thinking about this right now too, the sleepgasms, dreams about exes. That's been a whole other thing. What does it mean when you dream about an ex? And I also want to say, if you dream about an ex, it doesn't mean that you should get back together. I think a lot of you are like, does this a sign? Does it mean that, you know, we should get back together? No, it does not mean that at all. In fact, it could mean that you have unresolved feelings towards your ex. It could mean that you want some closure with your ex. It could also mean that maybe you're in a new relationship and you're worried, will this be successful? And what about, like, maybe there's something that's triggering, that's familiar to a current situation you're in right now. And sometimes it's just not about our ex, it's about us. I mean, this is what my theories on dreams are, that it's not specifically, it's more of like a Jungian model that Carl Jung, the psychotherapist, it's about things that you dream about are like parts of yourself. If you're dreaming about a man in your dream, you're like, I don't really know that man, but you're a woman, then it means that it was a part of your, it's like you're kind of like dreaming about a part of yourself. Like they symbolize a part in you that's not resolved yet and that it represents something. Because a lot of times dreams just make no sense. So I mean, dream stuff is interesting because if you think about it, you are creating that. Those are from your thoughts. That's from your preconscious, subconscious. Let's talk to Jim, 58, in Texas. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Hey, well, I've been listening to your show here lately and love the discussions it's on. And I've got a question that I've been curious about for a long time. Every woman that I've been with the exception of the one that I married, they felt like when I've been with them that having an orgasm, you know, 6 or 7 times was like, that's really cool. And I was able to, after spending a little more time together and doing toy play and oral and contact and things, to slow stuff down a little bit and have them orgasm and then back off where it's not too sensitive and kind of get to the point where it becomes like almost a wave where they just don't stop and then all of a sudden have this super orgasm. And I'm thinking, is this just not that common for women to know how to experience that, or is it just happen to be the people I've been with?
I think it's, to be honest, I think that a lot of women, and I think a lot of people, all people, don't experience, they sort of just accept where they're at with sex. They just sort of stagnate and they're like, this is how I can orgasm. And I think that the majority of women especially can have multiple orgasms, but it's just trying it. It's just saying, oh, wow, I just had an orgasm and now I'm going to, you know, maybe breathe, pull the toy away, take a break for a few seconds, whatever, and then go back into it. I think a lot, you know, breathe deeply, that many women can actually have multiple orgasms. They sort of have this assumption, which we have to change, that if they haven't had it before because they've had sex so many times, like when I say sex, I mean penetrative sex, it hasn't happened, I must not be able to. But that is just not true. I mean, I can't tell you in all the years I've been doing this how many women have let me know that they had never had an orgasm before. I have had multiples, and then they listen to the show, they read blogs on our website. We have a lot of blogs on our site about it, and they can make it happen. I think, Jim, that it's possible. We just got to try it. I mean, I don't like people like, I can't have it. I'm like, have you tried? Well, no. How do you know? You got to try. So I think many women can, but they just don't try or they don't know it.
Yeah, and I was just surprised. I want to know everything about my body. But anyway, it's been a fun journey getting there with them. And like, say, I'm the one woman that kind of had it down as much as I did. I married her, so that worked out just fine.
I love that,
well,
Jim. That's great.
I enjoy your show.
I'm so glad, Jim. Thanks for listening and thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, you want to marry that person. That's something you want to cover, you guys. Let me just tell you this. The only people I know end up in marriages, long-term marriages, where like, we just don't, my partner's not adventurous, but I want to try new things, or they want sex all the time and I don't. And da-da. Can't we cover this stuff before we walk down the aisle? Like, don't you think this is important? Don't you want to be Jim at 58? I'm assuming they've been together for a while, and he's like, yeah, I'm with a woman. We've been figuring it out. I want to figure my body out. Doesn't everyone? No, everyone does not want to figure their body out because, you know, shame, fear, trauma, a lot of different things. But it's really just being open and figuring out what feels good to you. It's all exploring. Okay, let's talk to Lauren, 37, in Virginia. Hi, Lauren. Thanks for calling.
Recently, so I've never enjoyed giving oral until this, my partner now. And, you know, I enjoy it. It's great, whatever. But then it seems like, not every time, but seemingly recently, like majority of the time, when I can tell, you know, we're in home stretch, all of a sudden my consistency goes away. Or even if he starts to say, like, it's about to, you know, I'll tell him like not to, so that I just don't know that it's about to happen, and I can keep the consistency. And it's almost like the kicks in golf. I try to like focus on like a symbol in my head, and that works like one time. But I just want to know if there's something that you might suggest could help.
Okay, wait. Are you saying? Let me try to understand, Lauren. Are you saying that you're giving him oral sex, and then you tell him to let you know when he's about to come, so you can prepare yourself? But then he doesn't. Okay.
So when he is about to, either he lets, like, I can tell because he says something, or I can just tell from body language, then all of a sudden, whatever I'm doing, I can't get that like consistent pattern. Like in my head, I just start doing it a tiny bit hair different, and then it throws everything off.
Oh, so you're saying he's like, I'm about to come. Oh, it's happening. I'm going to come. And then you like, when we're like, don't stop. And then you stop and you change the pattern.
Yes, I stopped the pattern. Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Lord, how many times does this happen?
I mean, I typically make it happen, like I would say 95% of the time. But, I mean, it's been happening recently a lot. Like, I can actually make it happen. It's just that it takes a lot longer because right. I just, you know, I skipped a beat several times.
So what happens, Lauren? How much are you moving what you're doing? You're probably going faster, maybe applying a lot more pressure, like with your tongue or something. And then you just like stop?
No, it's like the wrist, like say I'm flicking, like doing my wrist a certain way. Well, you know, I need to keep it consistent. But then I'll just like change it a little bit more, like twist a little bit more, twist a little bit less. And then it's just the consistency's thrown off and it just...
Does he say it too? Is he like, come on, Lauren, don't stop? Like, have you guys talked about it?
Well, yes, we do. Oh my God, I got in my head again. So, you know, it's like, and no, he's fine. I've even told him, like, don't tell me. And he's like, okay. But then, I don't know. I have an avoidant attachment style. Is that something, maybe that's correlated to that? I don't know. Like,
I don't know. Avoidant attachment. Probably not. Do you have anxiety? Do you get anxious when someone tells you something and then you forget it, like in the moment, or you try to remember something that's important, you know, and then you,
sometimes,
like when there's pressure?
Not too often, but sometimes. Yeah, I guess that would, sometimes I would say.
Okay. This is so interesting because I get what you're saying, that there's pressure, but maybe you're just being really hard on yourself. I mean, I think that it's fine. Like, I think that now if I'm just going to give you permission, like, so what? No one's perfect. So maybe in that moment, maybe you just say to yourself, I'm when you hear it, and you're like, I'm just going to keep going. Maybe you just really be mindful. You know what helps me sometimes when I forget something that I'm doing, like a pattern? Even if I'm like working out, right? And like I'm with like someone when I was in Pilates and they were like, do this move. And sometimes I forget the move. I just really like don't think about anything else. I focus on what I'm seeing, what I'm doing. Like I look at my body. I'm like, how am I moving? So I can remember the position. I mean, I think if you actually start to pay attention and you get out of your head and you think hand going up and down, mouth up and down, and then you just don't, you're just focused in the moment. Maybe you won't be so distracted by, oh, I got to change this up or something. Just really keep going with it, you know? But I don't think it's also a big deal. Like if you don't, also, I think you're being really hard on yourself. So like, yeah, it comes eventually, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are no issues, like, but it's just like, I mean, I guess it's better because it's like a build up. And then, so I guess I am.
It's like
kind of
edging. It's like edging him. It's fine. I mean, you can just pretend it was on purpose, honestly. My thing is to focus on the five senses in the moment. This helps ground me. You could even just do two of them. Be like, what am I feeling? What am I hearing? What am I tasting? What am I smelling right now? Whenever I focus on all the five senses during sex, it helps me focus. So if you're like, my hand's on his penis, I am listening to the sound of my mouth going up and down. I'm hearing my breath, right? And then you're like in it. Give like a mindful blowjob.
All right. I see what you're saying. Like ground yourself.
Ground yourself in the five senses. Yes. So what I'm saying is when I do that during like workout classes, the second I start thinking about something like work or something, I trip. I lose my step. So I just try to be focused and think of it that way. Just be in the moment.
Okay.
Be in with his pleasure and what he's feeling. Because I feel like with blowjobs, when you're really in it, I am one with the penis. Like I know what it wants and I can connect. It's energy. Like there's no question that this penis needs this in that moment. I mean, sometimes I'm not focused, but when I am, I'm in it to win it. No, but you know, I'm in it and I'm focused.
And so maybe it's like, you know, it's like a learning curve.
It's a learning curve too, for sure. It's always a learning curve and also going easy on yourself. All right. Lauren, I think it's fine. And I think that if you go in now armed with the five senses and just saying, what am I doing? Okay. Smelling, hearing, tasting. And then you'll be like, when you're present in the moment, you can't be anywhere else. You can't be worried. You can't be thinking. You can't be in the past or the future. So let's do some grounding exercise and let me know how it goes. I'm here for you.
Thank you, Dr. Emily.
Bye, Lauren. Thanks for calling. I appreciate you. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.